Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. I was really torn as a 17 or 18-year-old, and you all have been there, just making a decision about your life, where you're going to go to school, what you're going to study, and I had ideas about what my life was going to look like, and I wanted a wife and children and wanted to make money and have a successful career, whatever that was going to mean, and I wanted that, but I also wanted to do what God wanted. There was enough grace stirring in my heart at that time just to be able to ask or to recognize, like, God has to have a plan for my life. And if he has a plan, it's probably better than mine. And so I would say to the Lord, I'd pray, I'd say, Lord, I want to do what you want. You just show me. There was enough openness on my end just to be open, to be generous with the Lord. I still have ideas about what I would like, and I'll put those to you, but I want to hold that up against whatever it is that you desire for my life, because I was convinced that he has a plan, that he's leading me, and that he's going to provide. And I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, but this is probably the first time I really had to demonstrate faith. And faith isn't just trusting in the Lord and seeing that however things are going to work out. The opposite of faith isn't atheism or something like that. The opposite of faith is control. And I think I wanted to control my life in all these different ways and manipulate it so that I couldn't get hurt or everything would work out in my favor. But what real faith looks like is actually being able to lay my life before the Lord, trusting in him. And what happens little by little when we do that is that our own desires get reoriented with a certain direction and a certain strength. That my desires, little by little, start to sound and look more like what God desires for my life. And I think some of us get afraid of that. It's like, I don't want that. That we rein back control and we say, no, I'm going to fix it my way. I'm going to do it my way. But it really isn't rocket science. Like, if we want this, just to say to the Lord, here I am, send me. If we want this sort of openness, it's like, you're already here. You're going to Mass. Participate in the sacraments. We go to confession. We read our scriptures daily, hopefully, that we pray daily. And what happens is that we make ourselves available to the Lord. I make myself available to the Lord, and he begins to work in me. As I was 17, 18 years old, and I'm doing this, like just showing up every day. It's like half the battle is showing up. You know that. Half the battle is just showing up and making yourself available. As I'm going through this, the idea pops into my head one day, what if God wants me to be a priest? It's like, no. You got the wrong guy, Lord. And you can't have it both ways. You can't say, God, I want what you want, and then when he says something, you're like, no. And the Lord really stretched me. But like Simon and Andrew, you know, I've got my nets, I've got my boats, I've got the things that I want to do. And they have this profound encounter with the Lord today that I'm holding on to my own possessions, and yet the Lord calls Simon and Andrew and James and John to put out into deep waters. That so often we can live this superficial existence, a worldly existence in the shallow waters of our life. And then Jesus comes by the shore doing whatever he desires, because he's the Lord and we're not. The Lord comes by our boats and says, put out into deep waters. Put out into deep waters. We say, Master, I've been toiling all night long and I haven't caught any fish. And Jesus is like, yeah, I know. So what I'm going to ask you is to put out into deep waters, to trust me, and to see what happens. And we have this miraculous catch of fish bestowed upon Simon so that he has to call his partners over, and that both boats are in danger of sinking. And this profound encounter happens with Simon Peter. And Simon says to Jesus, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Depart from me. Like, I'm not worthy of you. That Simon disqualifies himself from the very beginning. He says, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know where the place I'm at right now, how I'm stuck. Like, you can't choose me. Depart from me, Lord. And Jesus says, leave what you have behind and come follow me. And after years of remaining with the Lord, years of hearing him preach, years of seeing how Jesus loves, as Jesus is going to go to the cross, Peter's not saying, depart from me anymore. He's saying, Lord, stay with us. You can't leave. Like, we can't do this without you. We're not the same without you. You can't leave us now. That this inner transformation happens with the Lord. This is what happens when we open ourselves, that the Lord reorders our desires. I'm 18 years old at this point, and I got invited really randomly to a priest's 25th anniversary. I knew no one there except this priest who was celebrating a 25th anniversary. And there was a reception afterwards, and I'm in line for food, and I meet a seminarian who's there at the time, who's a good friend of mine now. And I hadn't told anybody this. I said, I think I might go to seminary, but I don't really want to. And I'm pouring meatballs on my plate. And he says, well, what are the reasons you wouldn't go to seminary? And I rattled off in my head like 50 different reasons. I said, I got a lot of reasons, but I got to be honest, I think they're all kind of selfish, and it's really kind of what I want and not what God wants. And he said, well, maybe you should go to seminary. And I was like, oh, no. I want to do what God wants. And it's hard. Like, it's so hard. But the disposition of every Christian should be to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. What do you desire for my life? Here I am, Lord. I want to be generous with the gifts that you've given me. Here I am, Lord. How do you desire to bless me and bless those around me? No matter what vocation we are in currently or what we're called to in the future, God has a plan for your life. And within the church, we have this beautiful spectrum of vocations. Some of you have already entered and are part of the beautiful sacrament of holy matrimony. As difficult as it is, it's so beautiful that you get to bring new life into the world, that you get to love your spouse, that you get to put up with your spouse, that you get to love your children, you get to put up with your children, and all the stretching that happens in there, that your heart grows and grows and grows, and that you need to ask the Lord to pour more grace, to pour more love, to pour more forgiveness into your heart. And we need you, parents. We need you, husbands and wives, to be models of love for the rest of the world. That the church needs priests. I want my sins to be forgiven. So you know what I have to do? I have to go to my best friends. You think you're all intimidated by me. I'm nothing. Okay? I got to say to my friends, can you hear my confession? Because I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I want to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And I want your children to be baptized. And I want your grandparents to receive the sacraments when they're dying in a hospital bed, so that they can go and walk the journey, that last trek, that last pilgrimage to go and meet Christ Jesus. And we need priests. The church needs religious sisters. My heart gets so elated every time I see a religious sister or a religious brother, this man, this woman who's consecrating their entire selves to the Lord. They're a sign of hope for us. They're a sign of hope. Because my life is meant to look a little bit like theirs. That although I have all the complexities of the world, my heart is still to be entirely for the Lord. This Sunday is called by name Sunday. And we hear it in the reading today that Jesus calls Simon and James and John and Andrew to follow him. And here in the Diocese of Jefferson City, the bishop has asked us, I think it's beautiful. I love it. Asked us to think of somebody in our life, somebody in our parish community, in the college community here, someone who you think has the qualities of being a priest in the future, or a religious consecrated sister, somebody who's prayerful, someone who's motivated, someone who's kind, someone who desires to help others, and to be able to jot their name down. You know, along the way, nobody ever told me, I think you'd make a really good priest. Nobody ever said that to me. And here I was asking the Lord for a sign all these years, and nobody ever said, hey, Andrew, you can make a really good priest. They're like, Andrew, you're kind of a jerk. Knock it off. But there are young people who I know that the Lord is still calling to be close to him as a priest or a religious sister. And if you can see somebody, you've got little cards in your pews. I want you to write their name down, their contact info. And there's a little basket outside next to the priest and religious sister cutout, which is really fun. And so that the vocations office here in the diocese can reach out and just encourage to say, what's the next step for you? What does it look like for you to open yourself to do the will of the Lord? To ask the question, what does God desire from my life? Don't disqualify yourself. Don't disqualify your children. Don't disqualify your grandchildren because they're too smart or they're too attractive. They're too much fun. Do you think God wants dumb, ugly, boring priests? God wants those whom he calls. And so there's no way to disqualify anybody. The posture of the Christian, no matter what vocation we are in life, is to place ourselves before the Lord and say, what is it that you're doing with my life? I want to be generous with you, Lord. Here I am. Send me.